Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanadari Yasoda Nanana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Ajaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballava Giri Banadari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballava Giri Banadari Vajasoda Nanana Braja Janaranjana Vajasoda Nanana Braja Janaranjana Vajamuna Tira Banachari Ajamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan.
Jaya Nitya Lila Pravista Asta Tarasata Sisi Manhis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sridhara Harshidasi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 22, text number 35. Ayata yamas tasya san. Yama svantarayapana Shrinvato Dayato Vishnu. Kurvato Bravatakata. Kurvato Bruvatakata. Ayata Yamastasyasan. Yama Svantarayapana. Shrinvato Dayato Vishnu. Kurvato Bruvata Kata. Ayata Yamastasyasan. Yama Svantarayapana. Shrinvato Dayato Vishnu. Kurvato Bruvata Kata. Please chant. Gurukul students, thank you. Ayata Yama. Time never lost. Tasya of Manu. Asan were. Yama. The hours. Sva antara. His duration of life. Yapana. Bringing to an end. Shrinvata. Hearing. Dayata. Contemplating. Vishnu. Of Lord Vishnu. Kurvata. Acting. Bruvata. Speaking. Kata. The topics. Translation. Consequently, although his duration of life gradually came to an end, his long life, consisting of a Manvantar era, was not spent in vain, since he ever engaged in hearing, contemplating, writing down, and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As freshly prepared food is very tasteful, but if kept for 3 or 4 hours, it becomes stale and tasteless, so the existence of material enjoyment can endure as long as life is fresh. But at the fag end of life, everything becomes tasteless, and everything appears to be vain and painful. The life of Emperor Svayambhuva Manu, however, was not tasteless. As he grew older, his life remained as fresh as in the beginning because of his continued Krishna consciousness. The life of a man in Krishna consciousness is always fresh. It is said that the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening, and its business is to reduce the duration of everyone's life. But the sunrise and the sunset cannot diminish the life of one who engages in Krishna consciousness. Svayambhuva Manu's life did not become stale after some time, for he engaged himself always in chanting about and meditating upon Lord Vishnu. He was the greatest of yogis because he never wasted his time. It is especially mentioned here, Vishnu Kuravato Buravata Kata. When he talked only about Krishna and Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. When he heard something, it was about Krishna. When he meditated, it was about Krishna and his activities. It is stated that his life was very long, 71 yugas. One yuga is completed in 4,320,000 years. 71 such yugas is the duration of the life of a manu, and 14 such manus come and go in one day of Lord Brahma. For the entire duration of his life, that being 4,320,000 times 71, Manu engaged in Krishna consciousness by chanting, hearing, talking about, and meditating upon Krishna. Therefore, his life was not wasted, nor did it become stale. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yinatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachilam Pangumlam Jayati Gurim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Vansha Kapatri Vistra Kripa Sindhu Vahe Bacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Sri Vasari Sri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna. Simply by meditating upon his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. One thing that came to my mind that I didn't have in my notes here, says opening Sanskrit word, ayatayama, time never lost. This is the aspiration of everyone in the material world, that they are always aspiring to secure time, always making an endeavor to hold on to time. Srila Prabhupada, of course, gives that one very famous story about a very wealthy businessman that was on his deathbed, and he was pleading with the doctor, I'll pay you any amount of money, just give me 4 more months. I haven't completed everything I want to complete. Because time was lost. And for those of us that are not engaged in devotional activities, which are eternal, and realizing our own identity, which is eternal, time is never lost. Time becomes eternal. So very interesting to start that off with that very important phrase there. So we find in this verse two contrasting points of understanding. One point of view is filled with fearfulness, regrets, and disappointments. I'm sure all of us can identify with that. And then the other point of view is filled with delights, joys that are brought about by the nine processes of devotional service. So we have nine processes of devotional service. Let's see who can jump in and give me these nine processes. Show of hands, who wants to? First one? Well, that's actually two, Kirtanam and Smaranam. So, yes? Hearing, okay. Yes? Chanting, okay, yes. Yes? Prasadam, yes, I will take that. That will become our 10th process of devotional service, especially if Glubjimans are involved. Yes? More or less, yeah. So anyway, we have these nine processes of devotional service. And these nine processes are essential because they cover a large variety of things. And that gives us a lot of different types of opportunities. Now, one that has a life that ends with suffering, with dwindling abilities, with a fear of what's coming next at death, this is, again, one point of view here. And this is what usually happens with those of us that have this material body. You're all very young and energetic and youthful and, you know, ready to take on the world, you know. Getting up and down off the floor is absolutely no problem for you. You get to a certain point and getting up and down on the floor is half a problem. Getting down is no problem at all. Getting up becomes a problem. So this is what happens when the body is completely controlled by this time factor, this yama. And the other side of the coin, while there may be some incapacities, the mindset, the thought process, the focus of the mental state is hopeful, joyful, and filled with expectations. Now, this isn't to say Prabhupada was sometimes questioned. You know, he would say, devotee never dies. And someone would say, no, do you see the devotees die? You know, Prabhupada would say, no, the devotee's body dies, but the devotee continues on because they are not impacted by death in the same way. Their outlook, their hope, their joy, their expectation, it is all connected to the devotional process. And because of that, therefore, they are not suffering by the process of death. There was a well-known author that once wrote, "The only people who fear death are the ones who have regrets. Therefore, be wise today so you do not cry tomorrow." A very, very important point. We fear death because we, as this gentleman, I gave the quote from Prabhupada, you know, no, I have so many plans still. I haven't completed my plans. I've got so many things I want to do. Please, no, not yet, not yet. So there are regrets, things that did not get accomplished in this life. For those of us on the devotional path, Bhagavad Gita assures us that even a little bit of service saves one from the greatest danger, and that greatest danger, of course, is taking birth again. So by keeping ourselves focused in the devotional process, excuse me, by keeping ourselves focused on devotional activities, we do not have to have any regrets because we're continually connected with Krishna. Excuse me. So this quote here from this author, The only people who fear death are the ones with regrets. This summarizes the life of Svayambhuva Manu. He has no regrets. He does not fear death. Because being wise, he has engaged himself in devotional service. This activity of engaging in devotional service is not something that's done for a period of time. Yeah, I was a devotee for a couple of years. It was nice, yeah. Yeah, I was a vegetarian for a while. Now I'm not. Yeah, I gave up intoxication for a bit, but now I'm drinking again. These are all material activities that can impede our devotional process if we embrace them. But a wise person engages in devotional service throughout their entire life. Prahlad Maharaj noted that one should start at this age. We don't want to wait till I was having a discussion with some devotees last night about when we came to the path of Krishna consciousness. And for most of us in that discussion, 20 years old, 22 years old, I think the oldest was 32. So, but this is not what Prahlad Maharaj recommends. Yovanam, when you're very young like this, take up the process of Krishna consciousness, not just because your parents make you get up and put on your school uniform and go to school and learn something, but because you want to, because you're eager to. Now, you know, some days that may be easier than others. Some days you just don't want to get out of bed. That pillow and those blankets, they feel quite pleasant. It's like, oh, okay, you know, I'll just stay here a little bit longer. I just need 5 more minutes. And then suddenly it's an hour later. So no, we want to enthusiastically, oh, time to get up, time to chant, time to go to the temple, time to study more about Krishna. So this enthusiasm, utsaha, this is what really gives us a real taste. Now, Svayambhuva Manu, he did not come to an end in a useless manner, in a mindless manner, or unclear of his destination. Similarly, for a devotee, the end of our life is not unknown. It's not useless. Useless is an interesting word here. If you get the end of a rope, if you take a rope that's been cut, the very end of it's all frayed open like that, and you can't really do anything with it. It's useless. But if you go further back up where the rope is solid and secure, you can tie a knot with that. So this is an understanding of how we should embrace our devotional life. Now, in this verse, we see that there are 4 main types of service that Svayambhuva Manu engaged in. Hearing, shravanam, which we mentioned. Meditating, smaranam, remembering. Writing down. Now, writing down is like vandanam, offering of prayers. And then chanting, kirtanam. So it's interesting, this Sanskrit word again in this verse, kurvata, the word given is, this translation on this is acting. I looked this up in the Sanskrit dictionary, and this is exactly correct. Kurvata means acting. Srila Prabhupada notes it in his translation as writing down. This is a very important part of acting, is writing down. Writing down our realizations, writing down our studies. It's a very wonderful thing when you get someone's particular book of choice, Nectar Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, whatever it is, and they have all the little tags in there, the little sticky notes, and highlighter, having gone over and marked everything, because this shows someone's serious about what they're studying. And one way to do this is by writing down. Srila Prabhupada encouraged that we should write down our realizations. I'm sorry, but I don't have any realizations. Then write down what's going through your brain. Because by this writing process, the realizations will come. Srila Prabhupada said in a letter from 1975, he said, by writing according to our realization, we become more and more convinced and all the doubts are destroyed. So this is a very important point. Conviction and being doubt-free. Now, as we mature, as we grow older physically, and as we mature mentally, doubts will naturally enter into our state of thinking. Doubts about so many different things, about the process of devotional service, about what we're doing with our life, all these different things. But these doubts, Prabhupada indicates here, they're destroyed by writing down our realizations. What have I come to understand? What do I appreciate? And this can start at a very young age. Keeping a journal is a very important thing. Keeping a pen and paper in hand when listening to recorded lectures. Oh, wait, let me stop that. That's an important point. I came across two of my old journals the other day when I was cleaning some cabinets in my room. And these were from when I used to listen to Prabhupada lectures while I was doing my puja many years ago. I still do that, but many years ago, and I would keep a pen and paper and stop and write this down. Okay. So this is the way we learn the devotional process. This is the way we understand how to present it, because after all, we're about presenting Krishna consciousness, either by our physical appearance or by our vocal words. So this is very important. So Srila Prabhupada's encouraging us. We'll become convinced and we'll become doubt-free if we write down our realizations. Now, we know there are 9 different types of devotional service, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago. But why do we see that in the life of Svayambhuva Manu, he was only engaged in 4? We might think, oh, well, what about the other 5? Shouldn't he be doing more? But Srila Prabhupada very clearly states that our attachment to one or all 9 processes is as good as any other. He says there's no question of one being superior or one being inferior. Any of the 9 processes of devotional service that we're attached to, any of the 9 processes of devotional service we engage in, they're beneficial. Srila Prabhupada says in this regards, one who distinguishes a particular type of service as inferior or superior does not know the value of devotional service. Every aspect of devotional service is the same. I've told this story before. When I was a young brahmachari, one of my first responsibilities was sweeping and mopping. As one of our leaders used to say, Shravanam Kirtanam, sweeping and mopping them. This was our process. You all have never heard that before? Yeah, it was a famous one. At any rate, yeah, it was in the restaurant. There was a sign there. The cost of our prasadam is such and such. If you don't have that, it can be acquired by the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Sweepanam, Mopanam. So, at any rate. So, you know, I had this service that I was doing, but there was a devotee godbrother of mine, he had the service of sweeping and mopping the temple room. I was just doing the hallways and the stairways. And I remember thinking, maybe one day I'll get to clean the temple room. And then sure enough, one day the temple commander called me in and said, so-and-so has now got to the service. Chaturatma Prabhu, we'd like you to start taking up the service of sweeping and mopping the temple room. And I was ecstatic. Why? Because I could sweep and mop? Well, yes, but where and in front of whom? This was the important factor. So this understanding of being able to engage in devotional service. Now, someone may think, well, you know, I'm just the pot washer, you know, and someone else may say, yeah, you are just the pot washer. No, there's no just the pot washer. The pot washer is just as good as the person worshiping the deities because it's all service for Krishna. I remember in 55th Street, back in 76, after we got finished putting the deities to bed at night, the pujaris would go down to the kitchen and try to ramble up whatever kind of prasadam we could find. And every night, 10 o'clock at night, you would find one very senior, and by senior I mean senior not only because he was one of the first disciples, but senior in age, devotee Jayananda Prabhu down there by himself washing the pots from the restaurant. And he was always in complete bliss. Had a little tape player playing Prabhupada Kirtan, singing along, just washing the pots. Couldn't have been happier. But he's just a pot washer. One time, Jayananda also, story about Jayananda, he was taking out the garbage, and someone stopped him in the alley and asked, you know, who? He says, oh, I'm just the garbage man. So, yes, but just the garbage man for Krishna. So there's no type of devotional service that is inferior. Every type of devotional service is beneficial for us. So Prabhupada continues here. He says that one who distinguishes a particular type of service as inferior or superior does not know the value of devotional service. It is all transcendental. Whatever item is suitable, that is accepted as very elevated. Just like Maharaj Parikshit, he simply listened to Sukadev Goswami, that is Shravanam. And Sukadev Goswami simply narrated, that is Kirtanam. Prahlad Maharaj simply contemplated, Smaranam. Prithu Maharaj simply did deity worship, Archanam. Arjuna only remained as the friend of Krishna, Sakyam. Hanuman remained only engaged in carrying out the order of Lord Ram, Dasyam. And Bali Maharaj surrendered everything to Krishna, Atmanivedanam. So any devotee executing any one of these nine transcendental processes is glorious. One devotee may be proud that their service is the best. That is not wrong. This is called transcendental competition. As I mentioned, I would see this devotee, he's cleaning the temple room, I'm just cleaning the stairway, I want to clean the temple room. Everyone should feel proud of their particular type of devotional service, but that does not mean that other types of service are inferior. Everyone should be proud of being a sincere servant of Krishna and thus never minimize the importance of other devotees. So this is a very, very nice point Prabhupada's making here. Okay, there's nine processes. We have our acharyas for each of those nine processes. It's not that all of the acharyas did all nine processes together, but even if we just do one, Prabhupada says, is glorious. And one may be very proud of that. One may be very proud of the service. Not haughty, kind of arrogantly proud, but proud to be engaged in that service. So in that way, one actually appreciates the connection they have to Krishna. Now, the very nature of this material world, which is being described in this verse very nicely, is four things. What are those four things? Who can tell me? Now we're down to the older students that actually should have some answers for me. What are those four things make up the material world? Birth. Oh, I gave it away. Yes. Death. Any of the girls? No? All right. Old age. Disease. If we put them in the order, birth, disease, old age, and death. You're born, you get some disease, you get old, and you die. That's it. Thank you. Next body. That's the way it is, you know. But, you know, as a young student, as I mentioned, you all don't have much of an idea of old. I remember when I was a young student in school, 30 was really like, you know, we had a saying back then, don't trust anyone over 30. Yeah, because they weren't our crew. So don't trust them. But then when you're 30, you realize don't trust anybody under 30. They don't know anything. So, you know, there's always this idea of where we're at. But the reality is, you know, old age is going to beset all of us. At this point, you don't think of, you know, the joints hurting or food having no taste to it or not being able to control the need for using the toilet or not being able to move about so easily. I remember I used to, when I would sneak out of the house, okay, my window was right on the roof the smaller roof. We had two roofs on the house, the roof on the third floor and then the roof on the first floor. And I would go there and I would just jump right off that roof down onto the ground. Boom. You couldn't pay me to jump off of a roof now. I'm barely able to jump off the second step of a ladder. That's because the joints have gotten old. The bones have gotten weak. Any of you, I'm sure half the boys here would, yeah, I'll jump off the roof, sure. You know. So these things all diminish with age. But at your point, this is a completely foreign idea. Class is finished, you'll all bounce right up off the floor, fold up your mats, rush out the door. You know, you look around, some of the people my age, they're going to like getting up a little slowly, you know, trying to steady themselves before they take a step. So this is old age. And when we're young devotees, we don't think about this. We go out on Harinam at 20 years old, chanting and dancing, jumping up and down in the streets, like old age would never come. But birth, death, disease, and old age are guaranteed if we have a body. But if we're engaged in devotional service, even while the physical body diminishes, one remains excited and fresh in Krishna consciousness. This is described in the purport here by Prabhupada that Swayambhuva Manu, his life was not stale. Now, let's jump into a little bit of math here. Swayambhuva Manu lived for 71 years. 71 yugas. And a yuga is calculated as 4,320,000 earth years. Now, this means he lived, who's already done the math and got it, aside from you, Pachar. This means he lived for 306,720,000 years, earth years. Now, this boggles the mind, no doubt. I mean, we get somebody that lives to 130, it makes international news. So-and-so was found in the villages of Southeast Asia, were living to be 130, you know, like that. So, you know, wow, 130. 306,720,000. Now, immediately the mind says, no, I'm sorry. There's something wrong with that. That's because, as Prabhupada said, you cannot understand these things with your pea-like brain. Prabhupada used that phrase, pea-like brain. But all we have to do is do a little bit of quick analyzing. Now, there was a book many years ago by Jules Verne called Around the World in 80 Days. The concept of this book was that in order to win 20,000 English pounds, which, by the way, that was in 1872, that 20,000 English pounds nowadays would be just over 3 million English pounds. So in order to win that 20 million, the protagonist of the book had to attempt to go around the earth in 80 days. Well, you know, I can fly to Australia right now in 36 hours. So what's 80 days, you know? That's because I'm in a jet and I'm not on the surface of the earth. The space station, International Space Station, which is rotating up in the sky, in the course of one 24-hour period, it sees 16 sunrises and sunsets. So the conclusion is easy, that time is relevant to location and activity. The demigods in the higher planetary systems, they have a time reference which is different than what we have here on Earth. I mean, we just gave the example. All you got to do is go a few miles off the surface of the globe, and you can circumambulate the entire globe in a spaceship in 90 minutes. What to speak of around the world in 80 days. So this is an understanding of how time can change according to our circumstance. So in the same way, we see that it's not such a far-fetched thing when we're looking at the beings in the higher planetary systems that Swayambhuva Manu lived for 306 million years. Now, Prabhupada makes another interesting statement here. These modern times wherein practicing yoga is very, very popular. And those that practice yoga, they're trying to seek a higher consciousness. But mostly, they have no interest in controlling their senses. in restricting their activities. And without doing that, one cannot be successful in yoga. But here it stated that Swayambhuva Manu was the greatest yogi because he never wasted time. We can easily say that doom scrolling was not one of the activities that Swayambhuva Manu was engaged in. He wasn't wasting time like that. Well, we see that he had his occupational duties. He was responsible for populating the entire universe. He had his family duties. He had to see that all of his sons and daughters were properly settled. And yet, in all of these services, he remained focused. And how did he remain focused, we could ask. And Prabhupada tells us very clearly, because he was always engaged in Krishna consciousness by chanting, hearing, talking, and meditating upon Krishna. Therefore, his life did not become stale and wasted. A very important point. It did not become stale and wasted. Now, these past few weeks, we've seen the passing of several of Srila Prabhupada's foot soldiers from this world. Some of the great commanders in the field of service have left to join Prabhupada again. And so it should be of no surprise to us that this is happening. As one songwriter says, no one gets out of here alive, which is completely accurate. None of us get out of here alive. And those of us who were here during Prabhupada's time on this planet, we're all old now. So death is to be expected. So when we read the passing of this one or that one, we shouldn't be surprised. But what we should do is heed the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. Now I have two very dear friends, Madhava Das and Badahari, both Alachua residents, maybe by a little distance. And they've spent much time speaking and studying on the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I'd be foolish to try and expand on anything that they've done. But the emphasis of spiritual sound, the holy name, and service transcend physical death. This is why when a devotee is leaving this world, the sound vibration of kirtan, the sound vibration of Prabhupada's japa, all of these different spiritual sound vibrations are there. The key themes that Bhaktivinoda points out to us here, at Vaishnavas, they die to live because they live through the service they do that is there even after the body departs. And that we take refuge in the holy name. Bhaktivinoda emphasized that the developing a taste for the Hare Krishna mantra removes the fear of death and eliminates the cycle of birth and death. So if we don't want to die, if we have that desire, then we have to absorb ourselves in the holy name. The third thing Bhaktivinoda encourages is the urgency of life. He warns that the fragile nature of this life is present at all times, and death comes on the heels and breathes down our back. But it can be held at bay by constant meditation upon Krishna and the material body. Bhaktivinoda points out that the material body is a temporary vessel and that therefore our spiritual preparation before the time of death is necessary because that spiritual energy, that spirit soul, that spiritual service goes with us at the time of death when the body doesn't. So this is the secret to living a full life free of regrets, not one that ends being tasteless and stale, but one that's vibrant and fulfilling all the way to the end. As a famous athlete once said, and I'll finish with this quote here, it's better to look ahead and prepare ourselves than to look back and be filled with regrets. And this should be the goal of our devotional life, to have no regrets, to be free from any type of regrets. So that's what I have on this verse today. Ayato yamas tapyasan, yama shvanvato ayapana, shrinvato dayato vishnu, kovato bruvate kata. Consequently, although his duration of life gradually came to an end, his long life, consisting of a Manvantara era, was not spent in vain since he ever engaged in hearing, contemplating, writing down and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. So thank you very much. If anybody has any questions, we can deal with those. Otherwise, all right. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.